The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
There's information at the Get Plugged In table on community groups, when they meet, and how they meet. Some are ready for childcare. They've got childcare provision, and some aren't as equipped for childcare, so you may want to take that into account when choosing a community group. But this week, we start this new series, and I'd love to invite you to get on board and to check it out. If you can't start this week, don't think, oh, they started a new series and I can't get on board. You can jump in midstream. It's no problem at all. And if for some reason a community group doesn't work for you, we want to find a way still to connect with you outside of Sunday mornings. And one tool that we are going to make available to you is a set of books that go with this study. One is a novel. It's a book that kind of, a lot of the teachings we're going to be talking about are written in there. And there's a workbook for study on your own. Of course, the workbook works best when you're able to get together with the small group and talk about the things we're learning. But those resources will be available to you. I believe they're also in the back at the Get Plugged In table. And the resources are provided to you for a suggested donation of $5. But if you don't have the money, don't let that stop you. We want to make the resources available to you to help you grow further in your walk with Christ. So I'm real excited about this series. This series is really going to lead us up till Easter. What's great about this season in the life of the church is it's also, we're about to kick off starting this Wednesday. How many of you know what happens this Wednesday? Raise your hands if you know. Say it. Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday kicks off the season of Lent. Now, Lent is a season historically where individuals who had come to know Christ, who had come to have their lives transformed by him, the church would gather these individuals together and help them on a 40-day journey up till Easter, learning about the things of Christ, the things of the Lord, how Christ wants them to follow them, the disciplines of growing as a Christian disciple. And leading up to Easter, they were then baptized. And so during the season of Lent, we want to help you realize that all that God asks of us, all that Jesus, and we're going to read some passages where Jesus encourages us that if we want to follow him, if we want to be his disciples, then we have to be willing to obey his commands. And let's face it, many of us, we've walked with Christ for a while, and there are sins that creep up, there are habits that we can't break, there are things in our life that seem to have a hold over us. And the truth is that many times we are trying to live this faith on our own, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And this next several weeks, we're going to be diving into the scriptures. We're going to be looking at this study together and seeing who is the Holy Spirit, and how can our eyes be opened more to him and his presence in our life. And so what better place to go than to the Word of God? We're going to start there with the words of Jesus in John chapter 14 in a few minutes. If you want to get your notes out, I will start from the beginning and say that as I was preparing this morning, I decided to give a whole intro that's not in your notes. So we may not even get to your notes. So if we don't get to your notes, we'll do them next week. There's also a blank page in your handout where you can take some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about this morning. And let's go. God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that your Holy Spirit is now opening our hearts and minds to receive the truth that you want us to receive this morning. God, I pray for those who do not yet really even know you. Maybe they know about you. Maybe there's individuals that have even been coming to church for a little while, but their understanding and their belief is they feel like is not quite there. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit invade their heart this morning. I pray, God, that you bring things to light that we just simply don't understand. And God, that you just draw us close to you. God, we know that your scriptures say that no one comes to you unless the Holy Spirit draws them. So I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would fill this place and fill our lives as we look now into your word. In your name we pray. Amen. About 2 years ago, I got to do something I had been hoping to do for the last 10 to 15 years. And I didn't plan this, but Stan and Gloria Esterline, good friends of Branny and I, have been a part of this Walk to Emmaus group. And how many of you have been on an Emmaus weekend? Okay, good. 5, 6, 7 of you. For the last 10, 15 years, I kept looking for an opportunity. Sometimes it's hard in ministry, though, to get a weekend off. It's like what I'm paid to do is to work on the weekends. But it came time for me to be able to take a journey, take my own walk, if you will. And it was a great weekend to be away. It was just a small group of maybe about 40 men. And I went there, and Stan told me, "Don't worry, John, you're just going to go there as John. You're not Pastor John. No one even knows you're in the ministry. There are a couple leaders who know about you." And so I really went into this the first time in 20 years being somewhere where nobody knew me as somebody in ministry. It was really kind of freeing and refreshing just to be fed and just take it in. And so I think it was our last night. This was like a three-night weekend. And our last night, they did something that was a little different for us as men. It was like arts and crafts night. It's like, this was good up until now. But anyway, they gave us these magazines, and they wanted us to cut things out of these magazines, kind of making this poster of pasting them on. What do you call that? Yeah, a collage, exactly. So those of you who are into that kind of thing immediately know what I'm talking about. So as tables, we made these each of us made these collages of pictures from these magazines that captured things that made us think of God or spiritual things or our journey with Him. And actually, I have to admit, it was kind of fun. Don't let that leave this room. But anyway, we took these posters and we displayed them around the room. And as I was looking around the room, one caught my eye. It had a picture of R2-D2 on it. Now, if you're visiting with us, I've been accused of being a Star Wars-aholic. I don't know why, but so this poster, and I was waiting for it, because each of us, our assignment was to look at the poster and explain what the pictures meant to us spiritually. And so I was like, I can't wait to hear. I'll meet another Star Wars fan. I can't wait for this. And the groups went around, and finally the poster with the R2-D2 on it came. And the group shared about the trees and the sunshine and the smiling faces and all kinds of things, mountains and valleys and all kinds of deep spiritual truths and stuff that was really good. And they were finished. And they said nothing about R2-D2. Nothing. So luckily, I wasn't the only one to notice that nothing was said about R2-D2, and the person leading the activity said, you left one of your pictures out. There's a picture of R2-D2, and one of the members of the group just said, well, that was just cool, and we put it up there. I stood up after being quiet and hiding all weekend. I stood up in a group of 40 men and said, I have to object. Do you guys know what R2-D2 is? Okay, I brought something. This is what? Thank you. Does anybody notice what's missing? There. I am so impressed. Right here in this slot is where R2-D2 would be connected to the X-Wing. An R2-D2 is an astromech droid. I am so impressed, Nathan. You did good. An astromech droid is very important for an X-Wing. Why? Does anyone know? What? Who said that? I need to see your hand. Who said that? Just raise your hand. Okay, awesome. Dave, yes. Okay. An X-Wing can basically fly around a planet. It can be piloted by its pilot, and there is a 1977 Luke Skywalker in that cockpit. And it can do a lot of things, but what it cannot do is it cannot navigate and make jumps through hyperspace without an astromech droid. It is impossible. It is the guidance system for this vehicle. And I'm sitting here preaching this to a room of 40 men that an R2-D2 is needed because it is the astromech droid that allows the vehicle and the pilot to go where it needs to go. And how in life as Christians can we not know that? I was very passionate that night about this. Without the presence of an R2-D2 astromech droid, this ship cannot get where it's intended to go. And in the same way, without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, we are R2-D2-less in our spirituality. We need the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit in our life. Without Him, we cannot do the things that God has called us to do. We cannot go the places that God has called us to go. We need the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Sorry, I'm out of order. Austin, I gave him verses. That one was third, I think. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this. Jesus had just spent 33 years of his life on earth, pouring into his disciples, preparing them, teaching them, showing them miracles, helping them go through villages and pray and perform miracles themselves. And Jesus said to them that you've seen me do great things, but greater things will you do when I am away, because the Counselor will come. The Father will send you the Holy Spirit, and He will come and He will gift you to do the things that I am calling you to do. In Acts 1:8, as Jesus is preparing to leave this earth, to go to heaven, to go to the kingdom, He's leaving the disciples behind, and He says to them, He says, but you will receive what? Power. The word for power here, does anybody know that word, if you translated it exactly from Greek to English, what it would be? Dynamite. You will receive dunamis, dynamite. That's powerful stuff. Anybody ever had a chance to play with dynamite? Man, I was hoping to meet it. Oh, you have? I want to talk. Okay. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? Witnesses. That is what God has called us to be. We've been on this all year. We are His ambassadors. We are His sent ones. We are to be missionaries wherever we eat, sleep, play, sleep, shop. Wherever we go, we are to be His witnesses. But we cannot do this without the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We cannot be who God has called us to be on our own. We have to learn what it means to truly die to ourselves so that Christ can become alive in us. And when we learn to die to ourselves and we come into the family of God, God places the Holy Spirit inside of us. And over these next 7-8 weeks, my encouragement is that we begin to take on a whole new perspective of the need of the power and presence of God in our life through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John chapter 14. In the beginning of the book of John, we have the account of God being in the beginning. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God has always been. Sorry, Austin, I'm hard to follow today. In the beginning was God. One of my other favorite verses, first verse I ever memorized, was Genesis 1:1. Does anybody know Genesis 1:1? What does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, same three words, John 1:1, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word for God there in the Hebrew is Elohim. There are many words in Scripture for God, and each word in the original language brought a different meaning about who God was or a different characteristic about God. And this word Elohim is speaking of the plural nature of God. And what I want to get across here is not Christianity is not a belief system in polytheism. Many gods. There is one God. But somehow, mysteriously, God exists in three. And this is called the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures. Let's face it, that's what most of us really live like. Many of us think of God the Father, yes, God is up in heaven, and God the Son, yes, Jesus died on a cross for us, and God the HS, the Holy Scriptures, and we worship the Bible, and we neglect the Holy Spirit. Many of us, we've come to a place of not even realizing or understanding who the Holy Spirit is. And in my background, I was brought up in Baptist churches. The Holy Spirit was weird. And if you had movements of the Holy Spirit, that was even weirder, and we almost prayed against it. We don't want that to happen, God. Don't show up. We won't know what to do with that. But the truth is as you study the Scriptures, and I remember as a junior in high school coming to some parts, an appetite in my life started to grow for reading God's Word on my own. And as a junior in high school, I started coming to passages of Scripture where it talked about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the different acts of the Spirit. And it was stuff that I wasn't getting in Sunday school or at the church where I was attending. And so I would go back with questions and be sent away with all kinds of just sketchy answers. And I began a journey on my own of really seeking the Word of God for its full truth. And my hope is that as we go through this journey over the next several weeks, that you will come to God saying this: God, as I look into your Word, help me to learn what it is that you want me to learn. Help me to see what it is that is truth, and not come into this necessarily with preconceived ideas or things taught to me from my tradition and background, but God, help me to see clearly what it is that is truth from you. And I believe that God will show up. God says if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. And my prayer is that as we go through every study, that you are seeking God, you are looking back to the Scripture and not just listening to some guy spoon feed you theology, but you're studying for yourself and you're weighing everything we say against the Scriptures. In Genesis 1:1, God was present. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the surface of the deep, and God began to create. In throughout the Old Testament, we see the primary part of the Trinity that is interacting with people is God the Father. God is speaking through prophets. God is showing up in things like burning bushes. God is showing up in passing by Moses. God is showing up in many different ways, but God was the primary part of the Trinity interacting with human beings. Every once in a while, you have a thing like a Christophany. A Christophany in the Old Testament is basically the presence of Jesus Christ himself before he was born. So you have times like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown in the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar comes and looks and he says, we threw three in there, but look, there's a fourth one, and the fourth one looks like the Son of Man. Jesus was there in their presence. Many theologians think that when Joshua was about to enter into the Promised Land, Joshua was there, and all of a sudden he's wondering, how am I going to cross this raging river? And once I get through this flood stage Jordan River, there's a huge city in front of us that's surely going to stop us. How am I going to deal with this? And all of a sudden this spiritual being appears to Joshua. And Joshua falls down his knees in worship of him. And he says, are you for us or the enemy? And he's like, I'm not for either of you. You're fighting for me. And we see the presence of Jesus in different ways in the Old Testament. But the primary part of the Trinity is interacting with the people of God is God the Father. Then Jesus is born. The Holy Spirit comes. And the Holy Spirit in power brings to Mary the life of Jesus Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, Mary, the virgin, becomes pregnant. And Jesus Christ enters into the world. And for the next 33 years, the primary part of the Trinity that is interacting with human beings is God the Son. Jesus, God with flesh on him. The message says that God, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus there, dwelling among us, living among us, showing us how to live, pointing us to the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. We see throughout Scriptures many pictures, although the word Trinity doesn't exist in anywhere. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 21, there is no time the word Trinity appears, but we see in many places the picture of what the Trinity is. We see at Jesus' baptism, Jesus is there standing. John is like, I'm not baptizing you. There's no way, I'm not worthy enough. And it says, so that Scripture can be fulfilled, baptize me. As Jesus is baptized into the waters, a voice of God the Father is spoken from heaven saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit comes down as what? A dove, and comes and remains on Jesus. We then see the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the desert, the wilderness, for 40 days to be tested. And the Holy Spirit remains helping Jesus fulfill the will of the Father. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together in harmony. And now that Jesus has come, he lived for 33 years, he died on a cross in our place, he took our sins upon himself, his blood was shed so that you and I can be forgiven of our sins, so that we can become children of God. Jesus dies on the cross, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes back to life, having victory over sin and death. And the Scriptures tell us that the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now here to live in the hearts of you and me. I remember as a child, 6 years old, I was in a Sunday school class, and a teacher shared with us the gospel, and she said, today, you can pray to receive Jesus in your heart. How many of you have ever heard those words and prayed that prayer to receive Jesus in your heart? Many of us. I want to hear stand today and say there may be something theologically incorrect there. What part of the Trinity lives inside you? The Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to hammer that to death. Yes, Jesus is in us because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one. But the part of God, the Trinity that is living in us, is not, first of all, as a kid, it was weird to think of a man somehow got in my heart. But the Bible says that the moment that we put our faith in Christ and what he accomplished for us on the cross, the moment we call out to him as Savior and Lord and believe in our heart that he died for us, that the Holy Spirit comes and makes his dwelling in us. So if you have ever put your faith in the Father and what the Son has done, the Holy Spirit has been sent to live in you. Finally, we're at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus is speaking with his disciples. He's been with them for 3 years, pouring into them, teaching them, witnessing to them, preparing them for the next step. He's just had a time of intimacy with them where he washed their feet. And he says, as I serve you, now I am sending you to serve others. He has prepared them to know that he's about to be arrested. And he's about to leave them, and he's wanting to comfort them. He's like, even though I am about to leave you, do not worry. First of all, remember everything I've taught you, and if you love me, obey my commands. He says in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I've commanded. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another what? Counselor. We need help in life. No matter how well we've got things together, we need the counsel of another to help us through life. And God is there to be our counselor. He is there to lead us. That's the first thing we see here, the Holy Spirit being called a counselor. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. This counselor is called what? The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. He goes on, Jesus says, the world doesn't understand this. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Up to this point, through Jesus' life, the Holy Spirit had come for different reasons at different times. We saw when Jesus was in the womb, there was a very special child also conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit, but not a virgin birth. We had John the Baptist conceived. And what's one of the coolest passages of Scripture is when John the Baptist is in his mother's womb, Mary shows up. She's actually running to hide. Joseph doesn't know what to do with her. I'm not even married to you and you're pregnant. How are we going to explain this? I'm going to go be with my aunt, Mary says, and she goes to be with her aunt. And when she enters, she sees not only am I pregnant, but you're pregnant. And as she enters, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was filling her, and John the Baptist, as a baby, leapt in her womb. Somehow, the baby inside detected the Son of God in his presence. And so we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. But it isn't until Acts chapter 2 where the Holy Spirit comes in power. Here we see the disciples being told, the Holy Spirit's with you. You've seen the work of the Holy Spirit while we've been living life together. But the Holy Spirit will soon not only be with you, He's going to be what? In you. You know Him, for He lives with you and He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I have come to you. Drop down to 20:25 for sake of time. He says, all this I've spoken to you while I am still here with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And He will remain with each of you and remind you of everything that I have said to you. I'm excited to see the teachings that we're going to go through together as our community groups, how we're going to dive into these things more. I'm excited about the stories I get to share with you as the weeks unfold of me discovering the presence of the Holy Spirit in my own life and being moved at times to say things that I wasn't even thinking to say. The Holy Spirit is here to bring us a supernatural power beyond what we could even imagine. And my hope and encouragement is that you wouldn't see this as just a bunch of weirdness. It is a little weird. It's supernatural, but it's real, and it's God. And God wants to be in each of us. He wants to be empowering us. We see the presence of the Trinity, of the Holy Spirit, and a couple examples. I want to just show you these. And the reason I want to show you these is because there's some misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit. Austin, these are those last couple verses I gave you, Matthew, 2 Corinthians, and 1 Peter. There are some different ideas of the Holy Spirit out there. And I've heard some great attempts of trying to explain how can God be one and be three. Some of you may have heard like the water illustration. You've heard that, how water can be a liquid, right? You drink it. If you boil it, it becomes a steam. It becomes a gas. If you freeze it, it becomes a solid. It's one thing in three forms. But I'm a little leery of that illustration because it sounds a lot like an idea called modalism. Modalism is a belief that oneness Pentecostals hold to. And if you're a oneness Pentecostal, I'm hoping not to offend you. But from my understanding of the Scriptures, I think modalism is off. Modalism teaches this. Modalism teaches that God was the Father and interacted with people. And God left heaven and became the Son. He transformed in a sense. The same being going from God the Father, becoming God the Son, and then transformed and is now God the Holy Spirit. Not three existing at once, but one being taking on three different forms. And I think that clearly is an error with a couple scriptures I'm going to point to us. And that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all have their own identity. They all exist eternally. And yes, it can be hard to try to explain how that's possible. But He's God. And God says, sometimes we're just not going to understand. So I want us to be careful that we don't try to explain away how this is possible, but some things we just accept. One day when we're in heaven, we'll have it all revealed to us. The other thing I want you to see, though, is that God's presence in your life is necessary. And here are three verses that kind of back this. First of all, we see God present. I already told you about the baptism. When Jesus is about to leave, he's instructing the disciples to go and to teach everything he's taught them. Matthew 28:18, I think. 28:19. Therefore, go and baptize. This is the go and make disciples. This is Jesus himself talking. He says, baptize them in the name of who? All three. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see Paul concluding one of his letters to the church in Corinth. And he closes the letter by referring to the Trinity. Even though the word Trinity is not used, it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And then we have Peter, one of the closest disciples of Christ himself, beginning a letter that he wrote. And he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout all Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God and the Father through the sanctifying work of the who? The Spirit. For obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling of his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've got Jesus. Do I need the Spirit? That's kind of weird. We need the Spirit. If you want to be able to make hyperspace jumps through life, you need an R2 unit. If you want to grow in your faith with Christ, you need the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm not even going to attempt to get into our notes. We're going to save that for week two. I wanted to lay the foundation, though, so that we theologically understand that the Spirit is necessary. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we go into these scriptures, these studies, my hope and my prayer is that, first of all, you'll come to discover the answer to this first question. Are you even a child of God? Have you ever fully accepted the love he has, the forgiveness that he offers, and invited him into your life? If you've done that, the promise that Jesus made is true. The Father has sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. And the Holy Spirit is here to give you power. The power to be his witnesses. The power to resist temptation. The power to walk the life that he's called you to walk. The power to guide you one step at a time, to give you words to say in times and circumstances when you don't have a clue of what to say. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to understand the Holy Spirit. I have explained it like this to as a youth pastor, that I'm not a nutritionist. I have no idea the intricacies and scientific background of how my body works to digest food. But I still eat. And even though I don't know how it works, my body is doing what it needs to do. And it's breaking down that food. And these, you know, maybe I need to learn more because some things aren't working quite right. But in the same way, we may not understand all the intricate details of the Holy Spirit. But if you are a child of God, if you have put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit is working in you to make you the person that God has created you to be. But how much better can we be at eating when we know the right things to eat? How much better can we be at growing in our walk with Christ when we understand the things of the Spirit, the things of God, the things of the Son, and when we start to apply those in the right way to our life? Jesus did everything for us when dying for us. He accomplished salvation for us, making it possible. And he invites us now into the sanctifying work that he is doing as we walk and follow him in step. As we walk by the Spirit, we will accomplish and see the fruits of the Spirit fulfilled in our life. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you aware that the Holy Spirit is with you all the time? In you, not just with you, he's in you if you are a child of God. As our worship team comes, my hope and prayer is that we would take the next few moments to really just ask God to bring to life to us a deeper understanding of who He is in the person of the Holy Spirit. As we go through the season leading up to Easter, the season of Lent, a lot of traditions, they'll set aside things like chocolate or something they enjoy doing for a way of giving up something. I want to encourage you to do something maybe a little different, or maybe even in addition to that. And instead of just giving up something, I pray that every time you think about that, whatever you gave up, every time you crave that chocolate or that caffeine or set aside that time, maybe during the 40 days of Lent, you've decided, I'm going to read my Bible every day during Lent. My hope and prayer is that you do that every day of the year. But that you, instead of just casting something off, you would instead say, God, help me to understand you more. God, as I crave this chocolate, help me to understand the power and presence of your Holy Spirit more. Come into my life. Help me to understand the things that I don't understand and that you'd take on looking into His Word for answers. You'd maybe consider joining a community group during the season of Lent. 8 weeks. If you don't like it, you'll be done. But I think you'll like it. I think you'll see God help you grow in ways you never thought possible. God, I pray that as you speak to our hearts today, that you'd help us to open up, to really come to realize that we need you. We need your power and presence in our life to be the people you've called us to be. God, I pray your Holy Spirit draw us to you now. I pray your Holy Spirit make clear to us the steps it is that you want us to take. God, I pray this season that we look to as we get ready to celebrate the death and resurrection of your Son, that over these next 40 plus days that we would draw close to you. And we would seek a deeper understanding of who you are and how you want to be in our life. God, move among us. Again, for those of you who may be in the room who have never called out to God and accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to do that over the next moments as we prepare to take communion. Communion is a time for us to remember that Christ was here on earth, that He had His body broken for us in our place as they nailed Him to a cross, as they stabbed a spear into His side, His blood was shed for us to forgiveness of our sins. And we remember this as we come together as a church by taking a piece of bread as a symbol of the body of Christ broken for us, and we dip it in the cup, a symbol of the blood shed for us, and we remember that we now live because Christ died for us. So over these next few moments, my hope and prayer is you let the Holy Spirit speak to you as you take communion, as you worship with our worship team, as you sit in prayer with God. We have prayer teams in the back, people ready to pray with you in Spanish or in English. I'll be up here in the front to pray with you as well. Let the Holy Spirit move. Let Him lead you. Let Him take you to that next step. Father God, move among us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and convict. I pray your Holy Spirit would come and save. Be with us now as we respond to you after we think about these things. In your name we pray. Respond as you feel led.